Welcome back to our study of Hebrews. We are in chapter 12, and we're going to look. We're going to start right at. We're picking up with verse 28, but we might need to go back. Let me read 27 too. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of things that can be shaken, which are things that are made by men, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Consequently, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
We find that he's making the contrast from the last session. You understand, he was talking about how at Mount Sinai, the mountain was shaken, the fire and the fearful sight that everyone saw, even to the fact it says Moses was exceeding fearful and trembled at the awesome presence of the Lord as he came down on the mountain. And then he talks about how he's going to shake all the kingdoms so that the things that can't be shaken will stand. Then he goes into this. We've already learned that the only kingdom that can't be shaken is going to be a spiritual kingdom. Everything natural is going to be shaken. You're seeing a lot of things right now in the natural shaken, but it's the spiritual things that can't be shaken. But what I'm seeing, judgment begins at the house of God. And what I'm seeing is there's been a shaking, or there is still a shaking going on in the religious circles. Have you noticed that major denominations are splitting? Shaking, separation is taking place. And the Lord told me in 2019 that there's going to be a separation. And that's just Bible prophecy being fulfilled, okay? And so this is why we place so much emphasis on realizing that you're a spiritual being and that you live in a spiritual kingdom. And consequently, your attention should be on the things of the spirit, not on the things of the natural. The people that have their attention on the natural kingdoms, when the natural kingdoms are shaken, you're going to be shaken with it. When they come down, you'll go down with them. If that's where you're established, then you'll go down with it. That's why we're told to build on a solid foundation, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this spiritual kingdom, we're citizens of the kingdom of God, is what the scriptures teach. And so when he talks about this kingdom that we've received this kingdom by receiving Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the King of the kingdom, the King of kings, Lord of lords. And we know that this is a spiritual kingdom. Okay? We're a holy nation. According to Peter, we're a holy nation. Not a natural nation. The body of Christ is a spiritual nation. And the body of Christ is governed or to be governed by the Spirit of God. And so whatever's governing us is the kingdom that's over us. Mm-hmm. And people have all kinds types of kingdoms ruling their lives, and they don't even know they're slaves to these things. And we're to be slaves, if you will, to the kingdom of God. What does that mean? He's my master. If he's my master, that means I'm at his beckoning call. He can do with me what he wants to because he owns me. When you think of the master-slave scenario, okay? And so he says, we have this kingdom that cannot be moved because it's a spiritual kingdom. So he said, the King James says, let us have, but actually the Greek is saying, let us hold to grace, cleave to grace. Now, why would he be saying that? Why would he be saying hold to grace? See, the Judaism of the day was holding on to the law. They hadn't let go of the law. They were still under that kingdom that's ruling externally. And what he's saying is, I want you to hold on to grace that rules on internally. What does that mean? It means live by faith, not by works. And if you're holding on to this works mentality of pleasing God, you're going to be rattled. You're going to be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And He wants us to understand that when He said the just lives by faith, that's exactly what He meant. Faith is a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. You don't see with your natural eyes what faith sees. Faith sees inside. You understand? Perception. And too many people are following the natural. So He tells us to hold on to or cleave to this grace. Now note this, whereby we may serve the Lord acceptably with awe and with reverence. Now, here's what He said. If you're going to serve the Lord in a way that's pleasing the Lord, you're going to minister to the Lord, that's service, then it'll be by faith, not by works. How many people today are trying to serve the Lord by works? Very few people are serving the Lord by faith. And so this is what He's saying. Get this insight into the spiritual kingdom. And you're not going to do that until you understand you're a spiritual being. And we've been talking about this since the early 80s. That you're a spirit being, you're a spirit being, you're a spirit being, and people still think they're natural and still walking naturally. And they've got all their attention on the natural things, and they're not putting their attention on spiritual things. Now, I understand that we grow in grace, that you just don't get it all at one time. But you'd think we'd be maturing to the level at this point to where we're realizing God's spirit, I'm made in His image, I'm spirit. God is operating in a spiritual kingdom, and He's invited me into that kingdom. He says I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. The kingdoms of the world are not to rule us. So what is to rule us? A kingdom that can't be shaken. God's kingdom. The spiritual kingdom. And then look at the next verse.
Our God is a consuming fire.
For our God is a consuming fire. Now, when I look at this, when I see that, I immediately think of Malachi, the third chapter. But let's look at Deuteronomy, I believe it is, the ninth chapter, the third verse, if you want to read that. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 3. This is even under the law. This is Moses' record. This is what he has to say about God.
Understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is He which goes over before you as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and He shall bring them down before your face. So shall you drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto you.
Now, he's talking about the Israelites going into the land where the enemy's occupied. He says, go in. I'm going in before you. All this evil that's in that land, I'm going to consume it. I'm going to go before you like a consuming fire. I'm going to purge this land of all these evil practices. So these seven nations utterly destroy them. Utterly destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave anything that's been subjected to the perversity. Get rid of it. Why? Because it'll reproduce perversity. Well, I don't understand why he would kill children, because they're brought up and ingrained and they'll reproduce. And so he says, our God is consuming fire. Now, if you go to Malachi, the third chapter, and begin reading with verse 1, I actually want to look at verses 1 and 2 primarily. Malachi chapter 3.
Ezekiel.
Learn to use those Bibles. Don't just depend on Michaela putting it on the wall for you. Okay? It's a good thing.
Where is it?
It's in there right before Matthew.
There it is. Here we go. Okay.
Begin reading with verse 1, if you would.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Now I want you to think about this. He said, I'm going to send my messenger to prepare the way. Who was that? John the Baptist?
Yeah.
John the Baptist comes on the scene. What does John say? I'm baptizing you with water. There's one coming after me who's mightier than I. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Not Holy Spirit fire, but and fire. Now, if you look at that next verse, here's what he says. And the Lord will appear suddenly. In other words, John's going to prepare the way for the Lord to appear. The Lord will appear suddenly, but who can stand the day of his coming? Because he's going to appear not like you think. He's going to appear as a refiner's fire. Now, if you know anything about refining metal, the way metal is refined is by bringing it up to a boiling point. You liquefy the metal. And as you liquefy that metal, the slag, the dirt, the impurities come to the surface. And you take and you rake those things off. And you keep doing that until you get all those impurities raked off of that molten metal. Otherwise, if you try to pour that metal in a mold, everywhere there's an impurity, it's going to leave a bad spot in the product. It'll cave in, okay? And so here's what he's saying, that when Jesus comes on the scene, the Messiah, the Lord, then that's how he's going to be. He's going to purge out. He's going to put the heat on till the garbage, the impurities come to the top. Now let me ask you, what happened when he came, when he appeared to that religious system, when he appeared to the world?
Yeah.
Did the garbage not come to the top? Did the impurities not come to the top?
Yeah.
Now you get rid of the impurities. He told the religious people of the day who would not submit to the fire. He said, you're of your father, the devil. You talk about God. You go through the motions of worshiping God, but you're not of God. If you were of God, you'd listen to me. You understand? Now, the Lord spoke to me about this, that I would know the people who are of God, whether or not they would listen to the message He gives me from God. People will identify themselves. You with me? So our God is a consuming fire. The fire is consuming the impurities, the things that shouldn't be there. And when you get rid of the things that shouldn't be there, if you ever see molten metal with all the impurities raked off, it's actually beautiful. It's like a mirror. You follow me? And that's what God's wanting to make us. A mirror of Him. A mirror of righteousness. Not reflecting all the evil of the world, but reflecting Him. That's why we're called the light of the world. We're supposed to be illuminating the world about Jesus. We're not supposed to be walking around looking like the world. Acting like the world, participating in the things of the world. And I'm telling you, the church is head over heels in love with the world. And those things are going to be purged. And we're going to have to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to follow the Spirit or we're going to follow the flesh. You follow the flesh, you will be shaken. You know what happens to things that are shaken? They fall. But if you follow the Spirit of God, you're on a solid rock. You're on a foundation that cannot be shaken. It's immovable. You with me? And so just remember what he's talking about. When he talks about our God's a consuming fire, it's to get rid of the evil. It's to get rid of the impurities. You with me? I grew up hearing, boy, he'd go and baptize you with Holy Ghost, and Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. In other words, you're going to burn everybody up. No, the fire's going to burn you up, all the impurities in you. It's going to get the junk out of your life, the garbage out of your life. And believe me, I've had a lot of fire. You understand? More than one time. It took more than one time. And so he keeps that furnace, he keeps that thing burning for the sake of getting the impurities out of your life. God's not trying to destroy you with a fire. The fire's to purify you. And then it uses the other analogy of a launderer's soap.
Mm-hmm.
The soap is not there to destroy a garment. The soap there to get the dirt, the impurities out of the garment to get the garment clean to where it's a usable garment. Well, the fire is to get us to the point to where we're usable for the kingdom of God. You can burn the world out of you. That's what the consuming fire does. It gets the world out of you. And get yourself full of God instead of full of the world. You understand? Full of truth instead of nonsense. I'm telling you, people are following all kinds of foolish things today. And doing it in the name of God. Deceived. Blind. They don't have spiritual eyes. Everything has to appeal to the senses or they don't want it. And I'm going to tell you, God does not appeal to your senses. God will get you using the system to your advantage, not following the senses. You with me? He wants us to be led. He wants our spiritual perception to be trained to the point that we discern what's good and what's evil. You understand? We do it by spiritual perception, not by perceived truths. But listening to the Spirit of God, listening to the Word of God. You with me? A lot of people think they're right. But they think they're right just because they believe what they believe. But do you believe the Word? Does God believe what you believe? And I'm going to tell you, when you get into this Word, you'll find that it's your launderer's soap. Ephesians 5:26. He washes with the water of the Word. Titus, I believe it is, talking about the washing of regeneration. You understand? And so we have to keep ourselves subjected to the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you're going to follow the ways of the world. I mean, there's no gray area. You're either following God or you're following the world. And if you're following the world, you're under the influence of the devil. Because the devil's the god of the world, or he's the one that dominates the flesh. But if you follow the Spirit, that regenerated Spirit, then you're following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you to God. It'll lead you in the ways of God. You follow me? Okay.
Chapter 13. Continue in brotherly love.
Now, if you have a King James translation, it says, let brotherly love continue. That's not what the Greek says. The Greek says, continue loving the brothers. Continue loving the brothers. It's amazing how many church people have fallouts. You know what that comes from? Difference of opinion. You know what that comes from? Walking in the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, you don't have an opinion. And so if we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in agreement. And you can't, a spiritual man can't walk with a fleshly man, a carnal man. How can two walk together except they agree? Amos, the third chapter. You can't do it. Flesh and spirit don't agree. Flesh is hostile toward the spirit. They'll never agree. They'll never come in harmony. That's why this body has to die, and this mortal, corruptible body must be changed into an incorruptible, immortal body, so that body can agree with the Spirit. Because this one won't.
That's why the spirit man has to keep this body under subjection. Because if the spirit doesn't rule the body will rule. So you have to keep the old man dead. You have to keep him beat down, you understand, to where he's not dominating the life. Now, when you do that, you're going to love people. You're going to love people. You're not arguing and bickering and all this type thing. Are we serving the same God? Are we planning on living eternally together? And you can't even live in harmony now? Something wrong with that picture. You've got to get the flesh out of the way. We have to submit to the fire. Let it consume that garbage. Now, where we don't pay attention to the things of the flesh. You know what so-and-so said about you? I don't know, and I don't care, and I don't want to know. You understand? All that's flesh. I want to know what God says about me. You understand? People are not my measuring rod. People are not going to judge me. They may judge me here, but there is a final judgment to where it's Jesus Christ will be doing the judging. And here's the thing about it. He's going to do it accurately. There's no bias in His judgment. People have biases. They judge you off of how they think. Now, I've learned that people that have accused me of things are guilty of doing what they're accusing me of. That's a pretty good rule of thumb, too, if you look at it. You get your heart right with God, you're not accusing. Satan's the accuser of the brethren, not God. So you're going to tell me you're accusing someone that's your Christian brother? Then you're under the influence of the devil. Strong enough for you? Okay. We'll make sure you understand it. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And those things are desires of the flesh. People thrive on gossip. As a matter of fact, Heather and I were talking about it today, how people just rather talk about all the bad things in the world. What does the news give you? Bad stuff, propaganda, whatever. What's the good news? If you want good news, you're going to have to go to God. The Bible is good news. We're told to go into the world and preach the good news, not to go into the world and subject ourselves to bad news. Guard your heart with all diligence. Don't let that kind of stuff come in. Keep it purged out. Don't allow it entry. Think spiritually. And if you think spiritually, you'll be praying for the one who does you wrong. You're going to love them, and here's why. You'll realize they're the victim, not you. It may look like you're being victimized, but in reality, the one who is trying to victimize you is a victim themselves. They're under the influence of the devil. The devil's working in their lives. Pray for them that their eyes will be opened. They get free from that demonic influence. Amen? That was verse 1, right?
That was verse 1. But remember what the Word teaches us about how we are easily identified as disciples of Jesus. It's because we love one another, right? And so continuing in brotherly love, what I'm learning day by day is the more I get into the Word of God and the more I focus on the Word, the more this house is being revealed to the house. And so the more I know and I see the plank in my own eye being revealed day by day, so to speak. And so may we focus on growing in grace ourselves and just love one another. I was listening to some teaching I guess it was yesterday. And Pete was explaining what the Lord had spoken to him. And we've heard it said before, blind men can't see. Well, somebody would hear that statement and think, well, duh, right. That's the definition of blind. And then in this teaching, which I had not, we've never talked about this before, the Lord revealed to him and said, you know, if a person walked in the room that was blind and they tripped over a pew or a chair, you would be very compassionate towards that person and you would run and want to help them. Well, people can be spiritually blind, you understand. And so instead of talking about people and pointing out their flaws, let's love them and let's teach them along the way the revelation that the Lord has given us. I think about how love will cover a multitude of sin. And love can actually, you can love a person out of something, you understand. You think about how the Lord loved you, and we've heard it said before, and we can read it for ourselves, that it's God's goodness that brings us to repentance, right? And so, to me, what this is saying is, do unto others that's been done unto you, that you want done unto you. God loves us. He's caring for us. I've seen, and I've actually been a part of a family, and I've witnessed it with my own eyes, how family members can get so aggravated with one another. Well, I'm just not talking to him anymore. I'm not going to talk to her anymore. And literally not talk to somebody for years. A grandmother not speaking to grandchildren. Can you imagine? Y'all, that's of the world. How much more should we love our spiritual brothers and sisters, you understand? Continue in the love, the example that we've been given.
You know, in light of that, you know, as what Heather's referring to, I was walking around, actually, at another church. I was walking around and praying, and I was somewhat frustrated because I'd been teaching for some time on a subject, and it's like beating your head against the wall, spitting in the wind. It's just coming right back at you, and nobody's getting it, And so I was sort of voicing some frustration, and I said, why can't they see? It's as plain as a nose on your face. Why can't they see? And the Lord said, blind men can't see. And then he went on to tell me that I would have, if somebody walked in the door who was physically blind, and they bumped into a pew or bumped into a wall, what are they doing? They're groping. They're trying to find their way. They can't see the way, so they're trying this, they're trying that to find the way. He said, you'd have compassion on them. But that's what spiritually blind people do. They're groping, they're trying this, they're trying it. People think they can make themselves look good putting other people down. Mm-hmm. In reality, you're putting yourself down. You follow me? And so this is where, you know, Heather's talking about, we have to be patient. Let me ask you this, has the Lord been patient with you? Think about it. And you know that is a fruit of the Spirit that we're to produce. We have to be patient with other people. You know, over the years, I've worked with a lot of different ministers. And I have had opportunity to be greatly offended. I have been rebuked in public for teaching two different subjects, two different occasions, two different countries. I mean publicly in front of other ministers. I've been rebuked for teaching. Both subjects the Lord revealed to me. And I had done great research and great study on it. Now, my initial response was, I will not work with you anymore. And the Lord dealt with me. The Lord dealt with me. You understand? There's things you have to overlook. You understand? And so if they don't agree with that, then the thing for me to do is stay friends with them, help them all I can.
But if they don't want me to teach that subject, I won't teach that subject. They told me, don't you ever teach that subject again in our setting. Now, inside my heart, I know that they're blind. And so I would see it that way. Rather than take offense to it, you feel sorry for someone who's willfully ignorant. And the reason for that is because they've been indoctrinated to be blind. And when you realize, you look not, don't look at where the person is, look where they're coming from. It's not what they say, what motivated them to say that. Those people thought they were right. You understand? They thought they were right. They were doing what they did in good conscience. Not a lot of wisdom to it. If anything, you can take me aside privately and teach me a more excellent way, if you have one. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So what do? You work with them. You love them. They're friends of mine today. I'm not going to take offense to it. Although my flesh was wanting to, I'll never work with you again. Don't pay any attention to it. That was flesh, not spirit. That was flesh trying to correct the Spirit of God. Because God's the one that gave it. And so they're saying, what God revealed to you is not true. Now, they wouldn't say that in their right mind. They have to be blind to say that because they're good people. You with me? And you have to understand that good people can be wrong sometimes. And you don't even agree with yourself 100% of the time. And so we have to learn to work with people. You have to learn to work with the various gifts in the body of Christ. You have to learn to work together. Don't argue doctrine. What do you agree on? You have to work together with what you agree on. If you don't believe like I believe, then that's your prerogative. You understand? That's no reason for me to get mad and upset with you and become estranged to you. Well, I just won't talk to you anymore. I just won't fellowship with you anymore. That's flesh. It's all flesh. And the Lord wants us delivered from that to where we walk in love. God loves me. You know, believe it or not, there are occasions that I probably do something that God's not happy with. And you know what you have to do? Repent. Just repent. You know what? God's never slapped me around saying, you idiot, you. You understand? No. The Lord loves you. He loves you so much. He'll correct you. But He don't correct you by slapping you around. What He'll do is give you the Word. And then your own heart will condemn you. And so if your heart's condemning you, He says in 1 John 3, God's greater than your heart. So what do? You go to God. Lord, I blew it. I'm asking forgiveness. I just had to repent 2 days ago. Right here in front of Heather. You know, I'm talking bad about a situation, and it was my stupidity. I was the one who was wrong, but I thought this company was wrong. And they're probably still laughing at me for being such an idiot. You understand? And so I said, well, I've got to repent. I mean, Lord, forgive me for... I had wrong thoughts toward that company. Now, I didn't call the company up and do anything, but in my heart, there was a violation. You could say, like, sir, I didn't laugh. No, you did laugh.
Yeah.
Inside. Well, I didn't call them up and lambast them, but on the inside, I thought bad things about them. So what do? Repent. You understand? Walk in harmony. Don't look for everybody to agree with you. That's not going to happen. Your girls always agree with your daddy? No. Does he always agree with you? No. You love him? Good. And he loves you. That's the way Christians should be. We should be able to learn to walk together with one another, help one another. If you see a brother overtaken with a fault, you who are spiritual,
yeah.
then help that brother.
Yeah.
Don't kick him while he's down. Don't criticize him. You know, when Priscilla and Aquila heard Paulus first teaching, they realized that there was a lot of scripture, a lot of things that Apollos didn't know. So they took him aside and taught him some things because they loved him. They saw the potential in him. And you know what? Because their approach was right, he received it and became a better minister. I'm going to tell you, love will cover. That means it will forgive and disregard a multitude of sin. And you can love somebody regardless of what they've done to you. You can love them. God did. He set the example. We're to continue in that example, continuing in brotherly love. Amen. Well, our time's up here, so we'll stop and take a break.
Let me just say this real quick. I know we're not recording.